Hallelujah. Why don't you stretch your faith this way and help me? Would you just pray for me? By the way, I love you so much. All of you. Candy and I love you so much. You worshipers, all of you. Just stretch your faith. Father, I just love you. I thank you for them. I thank you for their prayers for me. I thank you, Lord, that we're going higher together. And I receive their prayers and they're asking the petition now that I will be blessed and seated up in a place right beside you where I can hear from you, speak from your mind and your voice. And I receive that, the covering now and as I go about my way in life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Don't we have a good time? Hallelujah. It's just so good. It's just so, so, so good. Sunday was so wonderful. And I haven't really talked to everybody, but I heard good reviews. But if you didn't hear the message Sunday, if you were away or had to leave or whatever, get the CD. Or let me say this, Kathy will thank me for this. If you have a computer and computer savvy, go online and get it, right? One more, save her the time, but if you can't do that, that's fine. But, hallelujah. You've been praying for me. Hallelujah, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. And if you haven't, let that be a reminder to pray for me. Hallelujah. See, what will happen is you pray for me, and then I'll go, oh, I'm supposed to be praying for them. And then it's a redundancy. Hallelujah. So if there's any selfishness inside of you, you'll be praying for me. Hallelujah. Ralph, you said something before service that just what the Word affected you. Could you share that? It was just real powerful. Just I like worship and the power that it has on us. But when the Word touches us so strong, like he's going to testify. So go ahead.
Well, what it was I was here Sunday and I enjoyed it, but I didn't think, you know, anything about it that much. But when I woke up Monday morning, there was a grace that I did not understand as many years as I've come to this church. But that grace was there that I didn't understand it. I could hear the Word calling me. I picked the Word up and I read the Word, and when I put it down, I couldn't go put it away from me. I had to leave it next to me where I could hear. I could just feel it because it felt like the Word was just constantly just calling my name. And the grace just to go into God and to do all the things that I've lacked on and fought for, it was just there. It was like you couldn't say no. It just wasn't there. It was just everything just fell in place and it just started on its own, and all I could do was ride and enjoy it. And it was just such a grace to it.
Hallelujah. Amen. All the glory to God. And of course, when the Word gets stronger and stronger around here, and it is in a lot of your lives, and mine as well, it's all the glory to God. Hallelujah. So we've been enjoying a lot of different messages and some rivers. And Sunday was a river. It took us down a certain path. And this is the fourth week that we're teaching on private worship as waking up through private worship or waking up through worship. It all goes back to the teaching in Ephesians, Love Awakens. And however Kathy will title these, it'll be probably in that series. But it all goes back to something we started teaching earlier this year, maybe even last year, out of Ephesians. How many of you have been enjoying this walk of the Spirit? Hallelujah. So thank you again and again and again and again for praying for me and helping me to make those next steps into His love. We've been talking last week. I'm going to kind of go over a little bit and try to go to another portion of Scripture in the Psalms tonight and try to break that down for you as He wills. But this part, He showed me a few weeks ago, and the best that I can ascertain or say to you is that He just said, tell them what you do. Just tell them what you do. Well, then last week I told you this, and I think I've told you just about every service on Wednesday night, is that a lot of this that I'm telling you about my own personal private prayer life, as in private worship, a lot of it is suggestion. It is not standard. This is standard, the Word. Now, when we read out of the Word and teach out of the Word and something is pertinent to the Word, that's a standard. That's for all of us. A lot of what I'm giving you is a sounding board. It's suggestions of convenience, as the Holy Spirit has taught me, as the Holy Spirit will teach you. And as I have said before, and I repeat because it bears repeating, that when someone has given you sound suggestions where they have gone to a place and they may be ahead of you in certain areas, and they say that I've gone down this path and this really works well, well, then it's very important that you listen, and that you listen more to what he's saying about what that person is saying, so that he can begin to alter your life and say, this will help you. I'll tell you, I'm really, really, and I don't say this to patronize you. I hope not. I believe it's sincere, is that many of you are my heroes, watching you go into revival, watching you juggle a life of a busy, busy life of work and children and all kinds of things, and still maintain something that is formidable to going into revival. I really am thankful that for close to 20 years I worked in construction. So if I would have been born with a silver spoon in my mouth and a pedigree preacher from 10 generations, it wouldn't have changed anything if I had went into the Word. But I am thankful for 20 years of hard labor. I know what it's like. Many nights or many days, I was a block layer and a concrete finisher, and I knew in all those years I served the Lord and tried to maintain a spiritual life. But there was, during the summer we would work till dark and lay. I've laid over 1,000 block a day, and that's a lot of block. We've poured concrete in the summer when it would be rained on, and many times Candy wouldn't see me till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I would be out there. You can't walk away from it, because that wherever you leave it, that's where it's at. And there would be thousands of dollars sitting there. So especially in the wintertime, it would not set up. And so I know what it's like to be where you're at. For the last 6 months of my ministry, before I went into full-time ministry, I was pastoring this church, driving back and forth to that little house, and had two crews going, I think. One or two crews, and praying 3 hours a day, and that's what the Lord told me to do. And that was tough. That was very, very tough. So I want you guys to know that you guys, many of you are my heroes, knowing what you juggle and the space that you give God in the midst of everything. But we've got to learn this practical aspect of going into God. We've got to learn that at some point we've got to be giving Him something to work with. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago, and I mean it with all my heart, nobody ever, we worship God in here, and I hope this is a classroom for you, for out there, for your personal prayer life. Nobody ever looks at you. We invite you for soaking, seeking, habitation. And I believe in the days ahead, there's going to be some sweeps where literally we may not leave here for 2 or 3 days. I mean, you may want to go home and bathe or catch some carbs in a pizza that somebody brings in. But if we could just be camped out here, glory after glory after glory. And I'm not saying that just to stir you. I really believe that. Several years ago, we had a Sunday like that. We would not leave. You could not leave. We just, you know, it was like every time we were going to leave. And we went all day and into the evening when the kids came in. We were just worshiping God. That's habitation. And that habitation begins with you wherever it's at. I said this a few weeks ago. I said, nobody ever will, at least I know I don't, and anybody that's walking where they're really fellowshipping doesn't look at anybody when service is over and they leave, and they have to leave, or they've got kids, or they've got school, or they've got work the next day. But I did say this. That may not be, you may not be able to sit here under that habitation for whatever reason, but I did say this, and this is imperative, and this is a standard. according, I believe, to the Word of God. This isn't my preference or my opinion. I believe that this, He inhabits the praises of His people. And for you, as an individual, to go to the next level, you've got to have some place in your life. It may not be represented. Nobody's looking at you as a standard and say, well, they stayed 5 minutes longer or 10 minutes longer or an hour longer or nothing like that. At some place in your life, on a regular basis, and it doesn't even have to be every day, because all our days are, boy, some of you are just going like a house of fire. Somewhere, I said it like this, I put it as practical as possible, you better have an oak tree that you're driving under to worship, or an orange tree, or a backyard, or a swing, or a private place in your house. Some place in your life, you better be breaking it down if you're going to go to the next level. You've got to have that. It may not be here, and that's okay, but at some point you've got to have your little corner of the world where you're parking for 30 minutes or parking for an hour or finding a place of privacy where you're getting to know Him, because this right here just alone won't get you to get to know Him like you're supposed to. You've got to be, and I'm not saying got to be in the sense that whether you're balancing heaven or hell. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking to leaders. These Wednesday nights right now, if you're in here, praise God. Even if you're new, you've been included in on a leadership teaching, because I'm talking about people that are wanting to go into revival and understand what it takes to go there. And this is what it takes. It takes that place of commitment. It takes that place of being sold out. It takes that place of saying what many of you are doing, and you're juggling that place and finding that place of intimacy. This is where we've been over the last few weeks. Last week we were at Psalms 131, and of course we were there for 2 weeks, so we won't go there, I guess, unless He directs me in the next couple moments. But that's all about the quieting of the soul. That was a pivot point, or it came off of Psalms 91, where it talks about the restlessness of, and I said Psalms 91 can be, to me, it has a peripheral or a surrounding environment that's trying to invade your environment. And in Psalms 91, it calls it the pestilence of darkness, or the noisome pestilence. And that's the noise that tries to invade your private prayer closet or your private worship closet. Now, this is the fourth week of waking up through worship, so I don't have time to go back and teach all that. If this is new to you tonight, please, there's 3 weeks. It's free of charge. Just write your name down the last three Wednesday nights, so everything builds line on line. Psalms 131 talks about the quieting of the soul. Psalms 91 talks about the pestilence that come. For the last few weeks, we've given everything possible that the Holy Spirit has used, everything I possibly, and there's so much more to be said, and some of it will be said tonight. But last week I suggested some things that the Holy Spirit can use in a practical sense that actually interprets to spirituality when you're trying to evade or get past noise and pestilence. And one was making a list, a things to do list. I was very private, open with my privacy. I said for years I've had and this doesn't mean that you're unorganized if you don't, but I have a list. It runs on a yellow notebook pad. It has 4 pages to it. It has a things to do. It's broken down into 4 categories. It's personal now, personal later, church now, and church later. And that's my entire life. And when I put all that there, the noise and pestilence that greets me and greets many of you. Now, I will invariably say some of what I do. I don't want to give you too much. I'm just going to give you a skeleton, because it's very important that you only use me as a sounding board and not a standard, because the Holy Spirit will envelop and appreciate your life and what you give Him just as much as what I give Him. Just as much. And I can't assume that I'm giving Him more in any way, time-wise or anything. Understand this. We've said this before. He reminds me now. Time is not the essence. It's fellowship and change that is the essence. But time is relevant, because the more time you give Him, the more you can change. It's not the essence. But to say it's irrelevant, to say, oh, 2 seconds or 2 minutes with God is equal to 10 hours of... But I will say this, having said that, again repeated, time, meaning the time you spend per clock, is not the essence. In other words, God doesn't fellowship with time. He's not counting the hours. But to say it's irrelevant is wrong. It is relevant because it's relevant in the sense that the more time you give Him, the more that He can get in and change your life through private worship. And we talked about all those specific changes and or how those come about. Having said that, here's the exchange to that, or here's the other truth to that. Time that is spent that is invaded by noisome pestilence, not the time that you're putting up a good fight against the noisome pestilence, all the things to do, all the accusations. We had a good illustration the first week. We taught on this 4 weeks ago. People standing here as accusations, the attack against the emotion, destruction of reasonings, confusion, all those kind of things that try to hit your mind. This could be 5 in the morning. This could be, you might be a night person. This could be at 11 o'clock at night. This could be whenever the kids go to sleep. This could be whenever you can squeeze time under that oak tree or that field house or wherever you're at or wherever you can get. But here's the important thing. It's not just time, but it's quality time. Meaning this, noise and pestilence will come to you. So, we talked about the simplicity of worship. What? The simplicity of not giving multiplicity of words like real flowery things. But this, the standard of Revelation 4 and 5, that even the angels and the elders repeat the same words. Now, that is a living example to say this. It's not the word itself, the actual word that you say, like Abba or I love you. It is the word, but it's the expression or the feeling that the Holy Ghost attaches to that word and carries it into the bosom of the Father that creates a place of rapport. And worship is rapport. You understand that? Rapport is fellowship. It's not just you giving, but if you're in rapport, He's giving back to you and He's lifting you higher and higher and higher. So, time, whatever time I'm setting aside, I've got to keep coaching myself. And I'm not coaching myself. The Holy Spirit continues to remind me, son, it's not the time, but time is relevant, but it's the quality. So, in saying that, I would say this. I would rather spend 5 minutes of quality, unadulterated, meaning it's not separated to other things, 5 minutes of true rapport, I'd rather spend that than 2 or 3 hours of interrupted kinds. I'm not talking about when people come to interrupt. I'm talking about when you or let me give myself as an example. When I myself give myself over to the noise and pestilence. And so that what I'm saying is not focused on Him. And we gave this example last week. It really bears repeating. This is where I'm wanting to be. I'm wanting to be face to face. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. But I'm not this. See this? This is a spectator. Let's see. Is this right? I'm at His right hand. So, okay. This is spectator. Well, this is two guys sitting at a football game. This is a Friday night football game. This is not where we're at. He's not coaching me from a spectator standpoint. He's coaching me like this. My mediator, the Holy Ghost, takes me into His presence, face to face. Face to face. Now, this is where, if you believe that time, if you believe time is the essence, if you get into works, and boy, the enemy will do everything he can to get you into works. It's hard to teach any message of truth that there's not a side alley that the enemy... I don't care. There are some wonderful truths being taught in the body of Christ. Powerful truth. Not just from us, but other places. But the enemy will subvert that. He will pervert that. He will bring it into to areas where he'll take a truth and get it way off. The truth of spending time that we speak about also can be subverted and perverted, where people begin to get in a legalistic sense and they think, well, you know, God's not going to answer my prayer because I didn't pray, you know, as many hours this week, half the time, or I didn't pray at all this week. That's not, again, the essence. But quality is, in private, worship, an absolute essence. This is where the body of Christ is at. Okay, if you'll just look up and pay attention. Here we are. Here we are once again. I'm in private worship. I'm there on earth, but I've come here. Now, this is not the proper posture, obviously. It's face to face. But when I get into a spectator mode, I believe that time spent is what God's looking at. Like, okay, I clocked in today, God. I committed to 30 minutes a day or an hour a day or 2 hours a day. So I clocked in. I can sit there. I know this because I am me. I can sit there for 2 hours if I don't pull myself in and evaluate what I'm saying. I can spend 2 hours with God, and I love this, that commercial, are you serious? This is what we do with God. The whole time, I brought my phone tonight, I borrowed somebody else's last week. The whole time that we're with God, I'm not saying that you're texting, I'm not saying that you've actually got your phone out, but the disposition of the heart, the disposition of the heart, rather than this way, face to face, can be, okay, what'd you say? Oh, I love you, Father. I love you. I worship you. Hold up. I got something else coming in here. I gotta think about this for a little bit. Let me get back with you in just a minute. And you go away. We are the most technologically informed generation that has ever been since Adam was created. We are the smartest in the sense of technology and communication, but we are the most attention deficit generation, and the church is attention deficit. And I'm not just using that as a cliche. The church is attention deficit. The church has an attention deficit syndrome. Very few learn to live in the moment. They're always thinking that multitasking makes them a better person. There's one place in your life you better not multitask. You better come to a place, if you're going, again, this is not heaven and hell. We're talking about going into revival. We're talking about the best for you. This is not a time to multitask. This is a time to get face to face with Him and find out what the heart of the Father is, what the wisdom of God is, what the power of the Holy Spirit is, who He is to you, in you, and through you. And I can tell you this, one of the first things He'll do is He'll just baptize you in His love. Why? Because He wants to put love in you. He wants you to really love yourself. And I'm not talking about an egotistical love. When you begin to love yourself, you really stop judging people. Because you're not mad at yourself, and you don't see yourself like, you see yourself like He sees you, and then if you see yourself like He sees you, then you start seeing other people like He sees them. Meanness goes away. Haughtiness goes away. Sarcasm goes away. Now, we play with sarcasm around here a lot of times, but we're not trying to be mean. But we're trying to be mean in a good way. But the mean goes away. See, here, He wants to baptize you. He really wants a generation. Private worship is one of the things that I've found out that causes you to live in the moment. It really does. Because it takes the task of you having to say this, and here's the practicality of it. I'm a little off center. Okay. Father and Jesus is my two objects of worship. I love you. I worship you. Here comes the noise and pestilence. I don't ask for it. Really, my intention is to sit down here, be a good boy, and worship God. You know, some of it is noise by the mind. Noise by the mind can be depleted by practical things, lists, and just a determination to say this. You can say to your own self, look, I will settle this. If that's not on your list, you forgot that. Oops, I forgot that one. You can say to your mind when you start saying, I love you, I worship you, I glorify you. And this comes and that comes. You think, well, I didn't put that on my list. Say to yourself, self, I'll settle that in an hour. I'll settle that in 30 minutes. I'll settle that in 2 hours, however long you have developed. When your mind will not agree and you push it out 10 times and it still gets stronger, because what I've found out, sometimes it'll get stronger. It'll try to bull rush you. It'll try to overpower you. A lot of times there's an entity involved. In other words, there's someone sitting in your worship closet beside you. He's there. But worship is also intended. Let me say this. Worship, the number one reason why you should worship is intimacy. Now, I know there's been a lot of books written about praise and worship, and I'm not here to debate that. And I'm sure there's probably been some good ones written where they identify one and the other. But worship, really, for me, is the basis. And praise is another essence of worship with a level of exuberance. But it's still adoration. This is what Jesus said. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's been searching the ages for this, that men would and women would be able to have a rapport with Him and pour out. Now, if it comes out through an exuberance, we often call it praise. But it's still, to me, a level of worship and adoration. Now, we were going to go to like two other places, but He's telling me right now, I can hear the voice of the Lord saying, go straight to 149, Psalms 149. That's where we need to go. And the other, He'll probably just tell me to tell you. Hallelujah, Jesus. 149. Hallelujah. Now, when you're starting to worship, and in the last 3 weeks, this is the fourth week, we've talked about noise and pestilence, separating yourself, and being very simple with your adoration. Okay, here's me, hopefully tomorrow morning, early, and just, I can hear it. Well, by the time I get done with bathroom duties, the coffee's already ready. Hallelujah. Candy's got it ready. So here's my cup. I get a major choice in the morning. Either I get one of those yellow or green ceramic cups. Okay, so I fill that coffee cup up. I'm sitting down. Okay. I'm dependent on, as I said the last few weeks, your number one dependency is the Holy Spirit. He's your coach. He's your teacher. He's your guide. Now, I'm separated this time to worship. Now, if the Holy Spirit begins to take me into Word, so be it. I have, personally, because I have a privilege that many of you don't have, I have my day planned out, and I'll go into Word many times later on in the afternoon, or confessions. I will sit and begin to worship God and pray in tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to bring me into the presence, and I'll talk to the Holy Spirit. One of the things I would highly suggest is that the Holy Spirit becomes your very best friend in this life. Your very best friend. And the best way to do that is to personify Him to the point where you almost, that's not correct, that you do what feels to you as an exaggeration. Now, the best thing I can tell you to do is go and listen to Gary Carpenter, his teachings on, and his experience with the Holy Spirit in the face-to-face communications. If you'll get where the Holy Spirit becomes, and I say this in all, can I use that word? Well, I'll just stick with the word friend. I started to say buddy, but he really is a buddy in a very respectful sense. But if you get where you can talk to Him, I mean just ride down the road and talk to Him, and if you can get where that you know that He is so intimate with you that if you'll talk and listen, He'll talk. And He'll talk about anything. And see, where a lot of people miss it is they get too religious and they think the Holy Spirit won't talk with them about anything. And I'll talk to Him about stuff that I won't even talk to her about, and He'll talk back to me. Isn't that wonderful? The grassroots of your success in going forward with God is that Jesus said, you've got a comforter, a personal coach that will come back and He will comfort you. And comfort comes through Him guiding you into all truth. Hallelujah. It comes in by Him teaching you and guiding you into all truth. And all truth is about every part of your life. It's about every single part of your life. And the intimacy He wants to bring. See, the thing that will increase your confidence is that when you begin to pour your heart out to the Holy Spirit about very intimate matters, and you know that He responds to that, and that peace verifies that response, then there is a confident level for Him to take you into the presence of the Father. And this begins to dispel fear, and it begins to dispel torment. Now, let's talk just a moment about other presences or other entities that try to invade your prayer closet, because that's very important. Because we win through wisdom. We win through wisdom. We're not afraid. We don't put the enemy up. We know this. Jesus said to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. If you understand that the enemy fears you going into worship, and more than anything else, he fears you finding out who your daddy really is and how much he loves you. Finances is no problem. Fear and torment go away when you really realize how much he wants to get involved in every single level of your life. And one of the best ways to wake up your senses to how much he wants to get involved is through this. Private worship. Now, wouldn't it make sense that the enemy, if he knew that private worship would wake you up, that he would do everything he possibly could to invade that part of your life? To cause some kind of confusion about it? To cause some kind of dryness to set in? To cause some kind of response from you to feel like this isn't working? This isn't working? In Matthew, I think it's 23. I can look it up for you later. Jesus was in the temple and he was casting out devils and he was healing the lame and blind. That's what it was, the lame and the blind. And the children were worshiping him. And the Pharisees came and they said, stop this. Make them stop it. And Jesus said to them, have you not read? And he quoted from Psalms 8. And I would have liked to have gone there, but I feel like we should go right into this. Psalms 8 said, Jesus said this. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise because of thine enemies. Now, we have said this before, but quickly, Jesus was not talking about these babes. He was talking about, he was saying, out of the mouth of newborn, because the babes and sucklings were an example or a foretaste of the reality of the new birth. The innocence of a child was the picture of the new birth. And he was saying, out of the born-again spirit hast thou perfected praise. He wasn't talking about the more you practiced it, you could become a good worshiper. He was saying people have never ever had the opportunity in humanity to be able to truly worship God because they did not have the utensils on the inside. They did not have the mechanics. He said now it will be perfected. In other words, it'll come to its full state because out of the mouth of born-again believers, babes and sucklings. And then he quoted from Psalms 8. But when you go to Psalms 8, it says this. He didn't misquote it. he just said what he said, and then you understand what he was repeating. The psalmist said, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger." The word "still" means that you begin to shut him down. You absolutely begin to shut him down. Now, a lot has been done over the last several decades concerning warfare worship and warfare praise. And I'm not against all that when it's done right. But I can tell you this, worship is the number one priority for worship is intimacy. That's what you're after. You're after intimacy. Now, I want us to look at something as we read through Psalms 149 here for just a moment. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, how many of you remember us going through Ephesians a number of times? The Word of God says there, above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, the shield of faith, we found out, if you go to Luke 4 or Matthew 4, the shield of faith is what? It's the Word of God. It is the, Jesus said, he was, all these fiery darts was coming at him, and Jesus said, "It is written." Satan, three times, he said, "It is written, it is written." He was speaking of the Logos, which is the Word of God. But as we read on in Ephesians, and it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is the Word of God, this Logos, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Then it goes on and to say, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, and again it says, the Word of God. The first part never mentions the Word of God, but we know that the shield, based on Jesus' ministry and his life, was the Word of God. He combated or he defended the attack off of him by saying, it is written, it is written. Okay? When he comes, the writer comes to the sword of the Spirit, he says, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the Word of God there is the word rhema. Now, you can't go to any Greek book and open it up. I've asked Greek scholars and said, "Can you explain to me exactly the exact difference between rhema and logos?" And it's very hard to do. It is extremely, extremely hard to do. The best way that you can find out is through context. That's the best I can tell you this time, based on what you see. And the best that I can see out of Ephesians 6 is what we've taught before in the past, that the sword of the Spirit was the now word, the rhema word. It was Jesus saying to legions, devils, go. It was the exact word. It was the offensive sword that cut. It was Peter's look upon us, stand up, rise and walk. It was Jesus's every time that he spoke the word over an epileptic, or he said, "Come out." It was Jesus standing on the bow of the boats and said, "Peace be still." That was the rhema word. That was the sword, the exact word given at the moment to cut through the lines of the enemy and wrap up the enemy. Now, I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit will do for you, especially if you begin to depend upon Him. Now, I know that you know, and I'm just talking to people like I know that you know this. If you don't, find it out. If you will begin to pray in the Spirit, He will edify you and build you up. And invariably, if you're going through a hard time, the Holy Spirit will bring you, if you keep praying long enough, no matter how confused your mind is over a situation. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about how that he'd get laughter in the Spirit. Now, I'm not coining your life and saying you're going to all have the same experience. I will say this. If you keep praying long enough in the Holy Ghost, you will invariably come to seasons, or you'll come to times in your prayer time where you'll either get the giggles or you'll get a high point. You'll get a witness that you prayed it through. It may not be laughter, but you will all, I know that He works this way, it's called the witness. Now that is a standard, and the witness is that what was in progress came to fruition. And the witness comes back, and Kenneth Hagin would talk about the laughter of the Holy Spirit. He'd get that laughter when he prayed something through in the Spirit. Now, we know that praying in tongues builds us up on our most holy faith. We know that it's an edification gift in that sense of the word, that it's always taking us forward. It's always building us up, and the Holy Spirit's praying for us. Private worship, as I'm sitting here and I'm saying, Father, I love You. Jesus, I worship You. I'm not worshiping the Holy Spirit, but I'm depending on Him. Because even when I'm getting to those grinding places where I'm hitting impasses, I'm sitting there in a place where I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm depending on You. I'm depending on You inside of me. And I begin to pray in the Spirit, and I begin to listen to how that He'll take me past the impasse that I'm in. Psalms 149 is incredible because it employs what the Holy Spirit does for us in tongues, and it also takes it into a place of worship. Now, I'm not against, as I said, warfare worship or warfare praise, but I'm going to tell you this, intimacy with God is warfare in itself. Intimacy in God, you really don't have to concern yourself about saying, I need to take the fight to the enemy. The Holy Spirit is there to cause you to know this, that when you're going through a hard squeeze in your life, and the finances aren't coming in, and the sickness is coming against your body, and there's confusion in the marriage, and there's all kinds of other junk going on, your time spent praying in tongues produces a prayer that is praying that God will work all this out for you. But the devil that comes into your prayer closet to invade you from your intimacy, he also knows this. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise. Now I know it doesn't say worship there, but praise is an offshoot of worship. It is the exuberance of worship. Hast thou ordained praise that thou mayest steal the enemy? It causes that yapping dog that comes in that has a voice. It causes the noise and pestilence to come to a place where he has to come to a quietus. He has to stop. But once you begin to depend upon the Holy Spirit, this is where I'm going to share my personal prayer life. As I read through this, I've found out that some of the hardest times for me to go forward. Listen, if you haven't met this yet, which you all have, I say this indicatively. If you haven't met it, if you intend on going forward, the best of you that love Him, and I bet there's some people in here that love Him as much as I do and want to see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. You're not going to be unabated. You're not going to go this route unabated. Somebody's going to try to stop you. And of course, that somebody is the enemy, our arch rival, the devil. We don't fight people anymore. The psalmist is a shadow of things to come. We don't fight Goliaths anymore. Our Goliaths are in the Spirit. When we bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, the Word of God is never, ever, ever 0-0 talking about you binding people. You can't bind people. You can't bind them. That's witchcraft. But you can bind the spirits that are coming into the evasion of your life and invading other people's lives, and this is how you do it. First, you have to understand that my call on tomorrow morning or whatever day that I'm worshiping Him, I'm coming in here to get to know that man. His name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to assist me. But watch what David says about worship. And here, as I'll be up front, it doesn't say worship, it says praise. But praise is an offshoot of worship. It's the exuberance of the heart. He says in verse 1 of 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, there's the shadow of the new. And the new is that we are to praise God. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 14, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. I will sing this new song out of the Holy Ghost. Here we are speaking. The Holy Ghost creates. Some of you say, I don't sing well. Isn't that wonderful that you get to be in private and you can be off key and you can, and if anybody was to walk in, they'd run the other way. They'd say, my God, what's going on in there? Are there devils being exercised in there? No. But you're in there singing a new song. I'm getting to know you, Father, but listen, I'm going through a hard time in my life, and I have found out, this is what I've found out through my years of worship. If I will allow Him to, the precious Holy Spirit, my best friend, my intimate partner, sitting on a deer stand, riding down the road, sitting at a football game, even in front of the TV, eating a sandwich, sitting out on the swing, I'm talking to Him, and I'm talking to Him about, what are you talking to Him about, Pastor? The great, mighty moves over the city. No, mainly I'm talking about Him about grassroots. See, what makes up the person is grassroots. Your character is who you are in private and who you are in thought. I could come out here on a weekly basis, and this is, I don't have anybody in mind, thank God. I don't want to. I could come out here with an exuberance and a flowery, kind of distant kind of personality towards you and talk all ways about things that visionaries, and stay at arm's distance from you and talk like that nothing is ever, no impasse has come our way. And yet, sitting on a big stage, a grandest stage of humanity, is many men that find themselves later on in a pit of despair because somehow, to their fault, God bless them, they did not realize that the Holy Spirit would get in on the grassroots who they are in their fabric, who they are in behind closed doors. See, I thank God I like me because I'm at peace with my conscience. I'm at peace with what I know I am through the grace of God. Now, is there change? Oh, my God. Ask Candy, does there need to be change? Yes, I'm sure. Much change. But the grassroots of who you are is being changed continually by intimacy with the Father and intimacy with the Son. I have found out when those grassroots, those character, the very character of me is being graded, when I'm talking about pressed upon to be anything different than I am, when emotions come into effect, I've found out that the Holy Spirit will not only pray for me in tongues, and that, you know, we talk about fasting, and I'll kind of leave fasting out of this tonight. If I got desperate in the midst of torment, I know I can dive into a fast. But here's an aspect. Here's a beautiful aspect. Singing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people, and He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Everybody say amen. And let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God, it just says high of God, but it's of course the worship, let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now watch this. Here's the praises. I'm worshiping God. Now it's bringing in a sword. Right in the middle of my worship, my intentions are this. I want to get to know You. God, in all my struggles, what I want more than anything else is to be who You want me to be. But here I've got this opposing force. But here, in the middle of worship, He puts something in my hand. He puts a two-edged sword in my hand. In their hand. And this is what that two-edged sword is for. To execute vengeance upon the heathen. Again, shadow, can't bind people. Paul said, our battle is not with flesh and blood. You say, this is not about binding heathens. It's about binding devils and punishment upon the people to bind their kings, principalities, powers, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. See, I'm not binding people. My fight's not with flesh and blood. But this psalm is saying, look, in the middle of worship, if you'll let the Holy Spirit come in, what He will begin to do invariably is He'll take control and He'll begin to aim. Many times I've found out that He begins to aim what I'm, His presence, my worship to Him and His presence and the Word of God against my foe. To execute, verse 9, last one, to execute upon them, watch this, the judgment written, this honor hath all His saints, praise you the Lord. Hallelujah. When it says the judgment written, of course, it has to be written somewhere. Where's it written? It's written in the Word of God. But this psalm is about worship. Let the high praises of God, let them sing aloud upon their bed. I found out this. If you will expect this of Him, if you will lean into Him, if you will lean on Him as a friend, I'm just telling you what I found out as a friend. Here's what my friend does for me many times in worship. Notice in this, this is important, that there's a sharp two-edged sword. Now, I'm not going to preach this. Maybe I could stretch it a little bit. This is, both sides of this sword is rhema and logos. Maybe it could be preached that way. I'm not sure that I understand every time rhema goes in and logos goes out, because they dovetail so perfectly. I know that this is His spoken word written down. I know that rhema is His now offensive sword that I strike with. But here He's saying, in worship, I'm worshiping God, and all of a sudden there appears in my hand this sword. And this sword is for a purpose. Now, I'm giving worship to God. I am, you don't find in this where He ever, there are times where you address the enemy. Jesus spoke directly to Satan. But you don't find in this psalm where He begins to speak directly to the nobles and to the kings. But He says what happens in this worship, there appears this sharp two-edged sword. And it is to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Now this is what I found out. As I begin to worship the Father, sometimes the Holy Spirit in hard times will take me to a place where I begin to reiterate to God His Word and His promises. Do you know God loves that? He loves that. Now here's the thing. You've got to be full of His Word to be able to know it. I mean, you've got to know. You've got to sit and meditate His Word to have some of it in you. And if you didn't, have a Bible next to you and find the Scriptures. But I've found out that the Holy Spirit begins to ride on that. And out of worship, I begin to say things that worship Him. I'm worshiping Him. I love you, Daddy. I worship you, Father. And oh, here He comes. Here He comes. Oh, because here's something in my body that I've been fighting with. Not really, but I mean, if it was. Okay, I magnify you. I love you. I worship you. And then the Holy Spirit begins to put a sharp two-edged sword in my hand. Out of that, because this thing is opposing my life, and He's standing there day and night like a fight in the marriage, like confusion in the home, like something that just won't go away. I'm wanting to worship God, and here the Holy Spirit comes in my worship. And as I begin to worship the Father and magnify Him, then the sharp two-edged sword is this. I begin to find out that word starts coming up. And with that word, I begin to worship Him. Like, I worship You, Father, that the word says that by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I'm healed. That's written word. But out of that written word, I begin to see rhema, which is now word, begin to give me directive. And then out of that, I begin to say things like healed. I call myself healed. Healed now. delivered. I call speak deliverance. And I'll speak words of adoration out of scriptures of deliverance. So here we go. I'm starting out in adoration. I'm worshiping. I love you. I worship you. I'm going through this terrific battle in my life. I vacillate in and out of worship because I need a helper, because I can't even concentrate. My emotions are so strong because of the battle that is against me, I can't even concentrate. So I'm setting myself in affection of the Holy Spirit. So He comes in as my helper and He begins to ease the pain. He begins to put a healing salve and an ointment on my pain. Now I speak words of adoration. I love you, Father. I love you. I love you. I love you. So I'm sitting there 30 minutes later, an hour later. Here I begin to see the Holy Spirit raise up a boldness inside of me. And all of a sudden, progressively, this sharp two-edged sword begins to appear in private worship in my hand. And I begin to speak, Father, I say in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, I worship you that every tongue that rises against me, and I'm not talking about people. He knows that I'm talking about those devils out there that are stirring up things. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, the Lord will condemn. And their heritage and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Father, I worship you. Now I say in Jesus' name, let this thing come to pass. Deliverance. I speak deliverance. I speak healing. I speak the wisdom of God. And those are the rhema words coming on top of the logos that is like that sharp two-edged sword coming out of, appearing out of worship that just envelops your life. It envelops that place. And you arise out of that place 10 times taller than you were when you went in. Because the Holy Spirit is incubating you inside of there. And He's saying, oh, while you're in here, take this. Look at it. It's that sharp two-edged sword. Praise me with it. Speak to me and let me give me directives. And you're giving God, you're actually giving God directives. You're saying, let it be. Let healing come. Let wisdom come. Let salvation come to that one that I'm praying for. And you're using that sword and you're cutting off all the enemies. All the enemies. You're binding their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. Glory be to God. Another part of private worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. We'll go ahead and put the buckets up or the baskets. Tonight, before you leave, if you have something, and while you're fellowshipping, we would just be so blessed if you would bring it. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to give tonight. Thank you so much. But why don't you just soak on the Word for just a moment? Nobody's arrived. I haven't arrived. I find out the more I go into God, the less I know. And so we're all on a journey. In fact, we're all on an experimental. You know what I said the other day? I know I'm high in God right now, but I've got to tell you the beauty of this is I was in my office about to come out here on a Sunday morning. The Lord said, you just started. You've just started. And to me, that meant that all of the glory that we've known up to this point is only the threshold. All of the knowledge, all the wisdom, and all the glory. Wait till we get going. Hallelujah. We've got a lot of good in front of us, a lot of wonderful things. He hates you, the devil. It's good to know that. Because if you don't, you'll underestimate him. And he will kill you. I don't know who said that, but it's right. He will defeat you. Because you'll get in a bad, 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 bad pity party. And you'll get mad at me. And you'll get mad at everybody else. But if you know who He is, you know that the God that you serve's a million times stronger. Hallelujah. So let's just worship God. And as I said, these dispensers are for your convenience as you desire. But let's just worship Him. I love you. Thank you for all of you that come tonight. And Father, I just seal this word. I pray that you'll seal the word. But I pray that my prayer seals the word over their life. Let this other aspect of worship become an ever-living part. They depend upon you in private worship. And they wake up, and we wake up, all of us, Lord. We're coming to that place. All our dependency is upon you. I bless them now, and I bless their giving. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. just worship for a little bit.